Would you turn back to 2 Kings chapter 8? While you're turning there, tonight I'm going to speak out of Amos chapter 8 on a famine to be dreaded. And it's where the Lord said, "Behold, I'll send a famine. Not of bread nor of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And that's a famine that absolutely scares me to death. A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you the title of this message when I'm done. When Elisha told Hazael of the atrocities that he would commit. Now, I want you to look at the severity of the atrocities that he would commit. Verse 12 of 2 Kings chapter 8. And Hazael said, "Why weepeth my Lord?" Speaking to Elijah. Elisha was weeping. And he answered, "Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, wilt dash their children and rip up their women with child." Now put yourself in his place. What if somebody said to you, "You're going to do those things"? Things really that are even too horrible to talk about. And here's Hazael's reply, verse 13. And Hazael said, "What is thy servant, a dog, that he should do this great thing? Do you think that I'm so morally bankrupt that I'm capable of doing something like this? Am I a dog?" Now, he wasn't the first one to say this. You remember what Goliath said to David when David came running at him with the sling and the stone? He said, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And then when Abner was accused of great impropriety, he said, "Am I a dog's head? Do you believe that I could do something like that?" Now, dogs are not presented in a positive way in the Scriptures. I know we think of them as man's best friend, but the Scriptures present dogs in a very negative light. You were forbidden to give money that came from the price of a dog to the temple. It was called an abomination, the same thing as the price of a prostitute. False prophets are called by Isaiah greedy dogs and dumb dogs. And then Paul called false prophets in Philippians chapter 3, "Beware of dogs." We are forbidden to give that which is holy to the dogs. And one who falls away is described as the dog returning to his own vomit. In Revelation 22, we read where those that are outside of the New Jerusalem are described as dogs. Dogs. Sorcerers. Whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters. So we see from that, dogs are not presented in a positive light. Now Hazael says, "Am I a dog that I would commit such acts?" Now put yourself in his place. What would you say? If somebody came up and said, "Here's what you're going to do. You're going to come up to women who are with child and rip the child out." How would you respond to something like that? Am I a dog? All God has to do is leave me or you alone. That's it. Just leave us alone. And that will describe us. If he removes the restraints, there is nothing that I will not do. Beginning with losing my interest in the gospel. Gradually, slowly, just losing my desire to hear, all the way to these atrocities mentioned that Haziel would and in fact did commit. There's nothing that you and I will not do if God removes his hand. Haziel did not believe in the sinful, depraved nature of man. He said, "Am I a dog that I do something like this? Now, come on. Do you think I'm that bad?" Now, there are four views of human nature. Only four. There are only four possible views of human nature. First, there's the evolutionary view. Now, in the evolutionary view, men are evolving. Men are gradually becoming better. Men really don't need a Savior. And then there is the view that men are born with a blank slate. We're born morally neutral, and if we're educated the right way, we'll do the right thing. If we're put in the wrong environment and given the wrong information, we'll do the wrong thing. Now, if that's the case, if we're born morally neutral, we do not need a Savior. We need proper education and a proper teacher. And if we have the right teaching and the right information, we'll be okay. Now, the third view of human nature is that of men being fallen, yet possessing the power of free will, the power to choose that which is good, to choose Christ, and therefore thus to save themselves. Now, if that's the case, if men do have a fallen nature but do have the power of free will, men don't need a Savior, they need a persuader. Someone who can persuade their will into the direction they ought to go. And the fourth view of human nature is that of being totally depraved. Totally, completely depraved. Sinful. Now, what does that mean, total depravity? Does that mean everybody's going out doing what Haziel was going to do? Go ahead and kill children, kill men, rip women who are with child? Does that mean everybody's out doing that? Well, of course not. Of course not. But you would. You would. Apart from the grace of God. Total depravity says man's understanding, he can't understand the gospel. He can't. It's beyond him. He's totally dependent upon revelation. Total depravity says man has a depraved will. His will is controlled by his evil nature. Total depravity says man's affections are wrong. He hates what he ought to love, and he loves what he ought to hate, and he's completely unable to do anything to save himself. He's totally dependent upon a Savior, someone to come and do something for him that he cannot do himself. Now, Haziel, like Goliath, like Abner, refused to see himself in such a morally bankrupt state as a dog. Now, it would be better to acknowledge being a dog. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes 9:4, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, I want to ask myself the same question Haziel did. Am I a dog? I hope you'll ask yourself that question. Am I a dog that I would do such a morally bankrupt thing? Now, at this time, I'm not asking, am I a believer? I'm not asking if I'm one of the elect. I'm not asking if I've been born again. I'm not asking if I have a new nature. Those are good questions, and we'll deal with those at another time. But here's the question for this morning. Oh, would to God that everybody in here would listen. Am I a dog? Am I a dog that I would do such a horrible thing? I love what Scott Richardson said about dogs. He said they're smart dogs and they're dumb dogs. They're pretty dogs and they're ugly dogs. There's fat dogs and they're skinny dogs. But a dog is a dog, any way you look at it. Am I a dog? Now, it can be a good thing to be a dog. Let me tell you why. The word worship in the New Testament is defined to lick as a dog licks its master's hand. When Gideon's army was pared down from 32,000 to 300, the 300 were the only ones who lacked water like a dog. David, the man after God's own heart, called himself a dead dog when he was speaking with Saul. Why would you be coming after such a dead dog as me? Such a flea. I think of a flea. A flea is about, of all the animals or insects, a flea. I mean, sucking blood. What a worthless animal, you know. A flea. I repeat. Are you a dog? Hazel wasn't. Goliath wasn't. Abner wasn't. What about you? Now I want to show you three people in the scriptures who were dogs. And it was a good thing. First turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. You're familiar with this. Many of you are. If you're not, I trust this will be a blessing. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Verse 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, when David makes this statement, he is recognized as the most powerful man in the world. As a matter of fact, 2 Chronicles 4, verse 17 says, and the fame of David went into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Everybody in the world trembled with fear at the name of David. He was the mighty warrior. He was basically, at this time, not only was he the king of Israel, he was the most powerful man in the world. And so when he makes this statement with all of his enemies being under his feet. He's in control. And David says, is there yet any that's left of the house of Saul? Remember, Saul was his enemy. He says, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Who was Jonathan? Jonathan was Saul's son. Jonathan was David's best friend. And they had made a covenant with each other many years before David makes his statement. Would you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20? Keep your finger there in 2 Samuel 9 and look at 1 Samuel 20. Now this is many years before this took place. This is Jonathan speaking. And he says in verse 13, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father Saul to do thee evil, then I'll show it thee. And send thee away, and thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also, thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, everyone, from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan said to David, he went on tomorrow and told him how he was going to help him on that day. But here's the point. Here's the point. Jonathan and David made a covenant. Jonathan said, I know the Lord's going to destroy all your enemies. And after I'm dead and gone, I don't want you to remove your kindness from my house. Now, many years have passed. Jonathan's been dead a long time. And David doesn't have any enemies. He's speaking from supreme power. And he says, remembering that covenant that was made long ago, are there any of the house of Saul that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? Verse 2, 2 Samuel 9. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul, any of his descendants, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, but he's not worth much. He's lame. He can't walk. He can't work for you. He can't fight for you. He's lame. He's crippled. He's lame on both of his feet. He's going to have to be carried. There's nothing he can do for you. He would be nothing but a burden. That's it. He's powerless to do anything for you. Lame on both of his feet. And if you read about this young man that's lame on both of his feet, you read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 4, he was lame because of a fall. Just like you and I are lame because of a fall. He's lame on both his feet. Verse 4. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amaliah in Lodabar, the place of no bread. He can't get to you. He cannot get to you. He's lame. Verse 5, then King David sent and fetched him out of that place of no bread. He fetched him. Oh, Lord, fetch me. Fetch me. I'm lame in both of my feet. I can't. All I can do is carry, but fetch me. Fetch me. Verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. Put yourself in this fellow's place. As far as he knows, he's going to be executed. He's an enemy of the king, of the house of Saul. Here he is. I don't know what he'd been doing, but I know he's lame. He couldn't go anywhere. Somebody grabs him, gets him. Maybe they put him on a cart or a horse. They bring him to the king. What's he thinking? Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, shameful thing is what his name means, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. What else could he do? He's in the presence of the king. He does reverence, waiting to see what's going to happen. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold thy servant. And David. Now, David looks upon this poor, lame man. And what's he thinking about? He's thinking about Jonathan. And who does he see when he sees this poor lame man? He sees Jonathan. And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake." Now, God only has to have one reason to show you kindness. You know what that is? For Christ's sake. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. No other reason is needed. Isn't that wonderful? Fear not, Mephibosheth. I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore unto thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" It's a good thing to be a dog. Look down in verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. You know, that lameness didn't change, did it? But his feet were covered under the king's table. It's a good thing to be a dog. Turn to Matthew 15. I have talked to a lot of people over the years, and generally when people talk about their favorite story in the New Testament, I found many people refer to this. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan, a woman from a cursed place, came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now you look at how this woman came. She came, first of all, with a great need. "My daughter is demon possessed. Not a thing I can do about it." And she came for the right thing. "Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me." She knew she was not in a position to bargain. She knew she was not in a position to buy. Her only hope was mercy. And she came to the Lord knowing who He is. "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David," the Messiah, the Christ. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." What a plea. Verse 23. "But he answered her not a word. She was met with silence. No response. No answer." He didn't answer her prayer. Have you ever met with the silence of God? where he doesn't respond to you. Whatever it is you're doing, it hadn't got past the ceiling. Silence. But you know what she did? She continued to cry. If you've met with the silence of God, the one thing for you to do is to continue to cry. Verse 23, but he answered her, not a word. He ignored her. That seems pretty heartless, doesn't it? She comes with this great need, but he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I didn't come for everybody. I didn't come to save everybody. I only came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now listen to me real carefully. When the Lord Jesus came to this plant, he did not come to save everybody. If he did, everybody'd be saved. He did not come to save everybody. When Jesus Christ came, he came to save the elect, those the Father gave him. When he died on Calvary's tree, he wasn't dying for all men without exception. He was dying for the elect, accomplishing their salvation. Now, that's what he came to do. He said, I didn't come to save everybody. She come help me. I didn't come to help everybody. I didn't come to save everybody. I only came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those are the only folks I came to save. Now, how did she respond to that? I know the way the natural man was, but that ain't fair. That's not right. All of a sudden, we become God's judges. That's not right. I wouldn't do that. That's the way the natural man responds. That's not fair. But how did she respond? Look in verse 24. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she. And what? What? Worshipped. Christ is to be worshipped, whether he helps you or not. He's to be worshipped for who he is, without reference to what he does or does not do for you. He is to be worshipped because of who he is. He's the God of glory. Then she came and worshipped him. And remember, you'll only worship a sovereign, one you can't control or manipulate. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You're the Lord. You're the Lord of creation. You spake the world into existence. You're the world of the Lord of providence. You're the one who controls everything. You are the Lord of salvation. Salvation's in your hand. Help me. If you don't help me, I won't be helped. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Can you pray that prayer? Lord, help me. Verse 26. But he answered and said, it's not meet, it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I don't know where the Lord ever dealt with anybody like this. First he doesn't say anything to her. Then he says, I've only come for the elect. And then he says, you're a dog. You're a dog. It's not proper, it's not right to take my gospel, the children's bread, and to throw it out to dogs. And you know what she said? Truth. That's the truth. She didn't argue with what the Lord said. She didn't turn around and say, well, if he's going to be that way, I'm just going to have anything. I'll just. That's the truth, Lord. That's the truth. Lord, I'm your dog. Yes, I'm a dog. but I'm your dog and I wouldn't dare accept the place setting with the children. But I sure will be a dog with the other dogs under your table, being grateful for any crumb of mercy that'll come my way. What if the Lord said to you, when you come to Him, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs? How will you respond? Are you a dog? Look what the Lord said to her when she said this. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Turn to Numbers 14. Can you see where it's a good thing to be a dog? Now this is the spies, the children of Israel sent 12 spies into the land that God had promised, the land of Canaan. And it was indeed what God said it was, a land that flowed with milk and honey, great blessings. But they said, we can't handle the giants. We can't defeat the nations there. We'll get killed if we go in. And two people, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can take it because the Lord has promised this to us. Now, it says in verse 21 of Numbers 14, this is God's statement, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb. You know what Caleb means? Faithful dog. Faithful dog. Now what is the most outstanding characteristic of a dog? Think of cats and dogs. Cats don't follow their master, do they? They could care less. But one of the things I love about dogs is their faithfulness to their master. Their whole life is swallowed up in following their master. That's it. That's all they care about. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him... Yeah, he had another spirit, the Holy Spirit. Because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb, that faithful dog, followed me fully. I've told this story before. Brother Charles Pennington was hunting out in the woods. And while he was hunting, he came upon a dog with its leg caught in a trap, in pain, still alive. So he tried to set that dog free. He tried to bite him every time he drew. You know, he was scared to death. It would just bite and snap at him. So he said, I took a forked stick. And I took it and shoved it against its neck to make sure it couldn't bite me. And I opened up the trap and the dog didn't let the stick. The dog just looked at me and just limped off lowly and it was gone. And so I kept hunting. And I felt something behind me. I could feel it. I turned around, and it was that dog following me. And that dog, he said, followed me until the day it died. Caleb followed me fully. I ask again, are you a dog? Everybody who wasn't a dog, they were bad. Hazel ended up doing everything he said he was going to do. Mephibosheth, the Syrophoenician woman, Caleb, they were dogs. Now here's the title of my message. All dogs go to heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we feel to be